Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The recent loss of the Foodland grocery store in Colborne was a blow to the community. The parent company, Sobeys, sent a letter to the municipality telling them it was not interested in building a new store. A major fire destroyed the building last May. At first, as expected, there was regret and disappointment. Then, silence. On today's show, Cramie Township Mayor Mandy Martin explores the deeper impact of losing a major retailer in a small community. The grocery store served as an anchor for the downtown. Its impact can be felt in the local economy, the viability of future development, and its ability to remain attractive to new investment. Martin will address these concerns and more. I am delighted to have with me today Cramie Township Mayor Mandy Martin. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Pleased and delighted to be here, Robert.
When you received the letter from Sobeys head office telling you that the Foodland grocery store in Colborne would not be reopened, what was your immediate reaction?
I don't think it was one of surprise. And by the way, it was the correspondence was municipally to our CAO through the CAO to us. And I think there were a series, the communication was sent, quote, officially to the township, but also former employees locally at that store had also been notified. And then within half an hour after that, they sent out a media notice. They responded to media. So it was obviously, you know, a blitz or whatever. But, I mean, in the year since the fire, there had been communications with the township and so on. We were very open and offered, you know, to offer assistance on any inquiries that they might have or issues, properties that they might be considering or whatever. We would help with any questions they had about zoning or planning or those kinds of things. So we were never directly involved in any of those private negotiations with
I understand that. And I would like to explore that as we go. But I want to, what I'm trying to get at, Mandy, is what was your reaction? When you're reading the correspondence, when you're getting this information and you're being told, sorry, we're not reopening, how did you respond in that moment? What did you feel? What did you think in that moment?
Well, I was disappointed. Of course I was disappointed. I had worked there in the deli, you know, for about a year, paid for my furnace by working there. So I was disappointed. Was I surprised? No, I was not. But that doesn't take away the disappointment. That doesn't take away my concern for the community, knowing how important it was for the local people in terms of a facility. And beyond, I became very aware in that year, since it hadn't been there, how many others in the greater area had shopped there, you know, on their way home to Brighton or on their way here or there to a cottage in the summer or camping or whatever. It had a much broader clientele than just Colborne. But again, our entire population within Cramie Township is 6,200 people. So when you're dealing with large corporate entities or interests, numbers always count.
It was interesting that you used the word not surprised.
What has
occurred over that year that sort of had you prepared for the message that they were about to deliver?
Well, I think anyone who has been through a downsizing of a corporate entity knows that nothing is for sure. Things can change on a dime. You get bean counters involved, it can go anywhere. So that concerned me. So, I mean, Sobeys is a large corporation. They have, of course, the food land in Coburg, which had just recently expanded and was large, 24 kilometers down the road to the west of us, then 15 kilometers the other way in Brighton, they have a Sobeys store. So obviously corporate people, and I can speak from some sort of experience in terms of what happened to local community newspapers. If there are two large, how are the smaller ones going to equate, even though they may have a profit center of their own? But you get into these larger organizations, and the payback that they want, the percentage of payback, is based on numbers. And maybe it's profitable in its own small, unique way, but corporately, these corporations, they want a 40% profit, or what, you know what I mean? The payback for the shareholders. So I'm no fool when it comes to that kind of rationalization. Am I happy about it? No, because I personally, I have great faith in smaller enterprise succeeding and has value and worth. So, but I'm not the CEO of a large corporation.
Sticking with this idea of the immediate reaction, what did you hear from residents right away once this news got out in the first wave?
Well, they were, of course, people were concerned. What am I going to do? How am I going to, whatever? But we've lived with that for a year in this community. And when the fire happened, for example, I mean, we did institute free transportation for people to Brighton, to the food land or whatever. Very few people took advantage of it, as in, the digits on my hand. So people were calling for this and crying the blues and so on, but they weren't taking advantage of those offers. And then in the subsequent year, what was happening is within the community, people were finding a way to get groceries elsewhere, be it with friends going and shopping or whatever they do. I don't know. So there were many people who said, I only ever shopped at the local food land. Well, I'm also a realist when it comes to that, because I used to run into people at Costco in Peterborough who claimed that they only shopped at the food land in Coburg. So come on, be honest. Be honest.
Are you pursuing any other grocery store options to replace it?
Pursuing, certainly encouraging, absolutely. And there are a number that may, come forward. And in that sense, this is where I'm optimistic. Now that Sobeys officially withdrew, that suddenly meant that other options, maybe the smaller approaches, can now consider this, right? Can now come into it. They know they're not going to be overwhelmed by a larger corporation sort of taking over the whole market. So there were other things. I mean, some of the downtown stores, for example, like the Guardian Pharmacy, switched over a lot of what it was carrying in its own freezer section to meet demand, local demand. I think of Rutherford's Farmers Market, who put in freezers and expanded their food line and their bakery items and so on. And in fact, this year opened over a month early for their seasonal to facilitate and cater to people. But yes, there are a number of developments that may happen in terms of people coming in and establishing a smaller grocery store within another development. So yeah, we're considering all options and encouraging all options. They have to come as a planning presentation, of course, but we know there's interest. And we know that that there are private individuals purchasing property or very much asking, you know, what can go on this property or what can go where and so on. And we encourage. The other part of this is the economy that we are in right now, you know, high interest rates, et cetera. So people wanting to build, it's you're looking at a $2 to $3 million building
Well, I
before.
wanted to pursue that with you because
Yeah.
there are, that's just one of many challenges that I'm sure whoever's going to do this is facing. What other things, through your vision at council and as mayor, what other challenges are there out there for somebody who, either a chain or an independent, who might want to create something or build something?
Well, I think it's no secret that within the world of food supply, we have to look down the road at that too. For example, where you get your strawberries, where you get your fruit. We're hearing stories of how companies are coming in to growers of certain produce in California, for example. And they come down and they plop, you know, $20 million on the table of a producer and say, we want everything you produce for the next 20 years. Only us. And so that takes that product out of the market. And that product is then being shipped to China. So there are things happening in the world. And I know everybody says nothing happens in small towns. Well, we are where the rubber hits the road in many ways. Whatever is affecting in terms of interest rates, housing, whatever, workers, we live it. We experience it. It isn't hidden.
From a municipal standpoint of view, what resources does it take when this type of you face this type of challenge? You know, you had this grocery store, it burned down. You've gone a year or more trying to make do with without one locally. What resources in terms of staff, in terms of what's involved for from a municipal perspective?
I think that, I mean, first of all, there are employees who work there. Some of them, of course, are now working at the food land or whatever, but not all of the employees or the part-timers or whatever. So where do they go for jobs, et cetera? The other part of all that too is again, it all dovetails with housing. And so they get a job elsewhere. For example, you know, Tim Hortons or the Big Apple or a factory, you know, which pays good money, but people have, where do they find housing? The real estate market, you know, be it rental or for people just starting out. It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge.
Are you working with other levels of government, for example, economic development at the county level to attract businesses? I mean, what sorts of things are you doing on that level to try and get somebody to come in and create something?
Well, for example, at the provincial level, we have done a very deep dive into what lands are possible as employment lands within Cramie Township. And we were very thorough. It also, if I may say so, we are honest. We're honest about our figures and we're honest about what's available. We've submitted that to the province through the province and on up. And apparently after a it was kind of interesting, after a countywide survey of this, Cramie Township, in particular around Colborne, had the most potential for all kinds of employment facilities. So, I mean, Colborne, for example, has no more industrial land. Port Hope's pushed. But we have lands available, and then we have to start factoring servicing and so on. But I think we have a hard handle on that because we've approached it in a very holistic way. It's not just having land. When you have land, you have to have housing, you have to have services if it's in the urban area. et cetera. So we have to factor all that in. And we've taken a very, I would say, forward-thinking approach to that and communicating that up the line, primarily through the province at this point, because that's where the most immediate grant systems and so on are available.
So that's good on a sort of a holistic approach to economic development. But in terms of, again, replacing this grocery store, is there anything you've done, again, with the county or with the province where you've said, hey, we need a grocery store down here. This is really important to our community and our future. Are they out there, shilling on your behalf to attract somebody to pick up the torch?
I think yes. I mean, we've had people come into the office, potential developers and so on, asking for information, and they've been directed or led by contacts that have been made at the county level and or the provincial level in terms of the potential that we have, and also because of our slated growth, our slated residential growth. Again, so the immediate need. And then the future, there's a time lag there, so it's difficult. It's not easy. It doesn't make the need go away. And so there's the challenge. The challenge is to stay calm and to be forward thinking and not be screaming at one another and whatever. That doesn't help.
Often business people look for breaks or deals to support them before they'll make a decision to start a business like a grocery store or a big enterprise. Is there anything that the township is doing or offering?
If you mean, are we offering them land or anything like that? No, because we don't have it to offer on the scale that they want. And that is, that's not the marketplace that exists. Tax breaks, no. I firmly believe that we should pay. If you're going to be in business, you need to be able to support yourself. If I can use another unpopular analogy, and I have no fear of being unpopular. I don't care. I think we have to be realistic. But I look at what people, some communities pay doctors to come. They'll pay them $100,000 or something to come to their community for 2 years, and sign on. You can't leave. And at the end of the 2 years, they bugger off. Well, to me, that's a waste of money. And that doesn't address the situation. And this is what I mean about the holistic approach. You have to look at other ways of providing health care and food security and housing requirements. They're not these silos. One affects the other. And if you're going to make it so that it will last and actually be of service and not just have taxpayers paying to line other people's pockets, it has to work for us too. It has to work for us. And I think that's the beauty of a smaller community like ours. We come from a long history, over 230 years of settler history, never mind what the indigenous could actually bring to this table in a discussion, which I think is interesting. You have to have a broader view. And a responsible view. And we've always managed to do that. We've survived all kinds of things in this area of the woods, one way or the other, you make it work. And it does get resolved. And I have every confidence that there will be alternates and solutions to this.
For those who might not appreciate it, how would you characterize the role of a grocery store to residents in a community? How vital is it? Is it really, really important to have one? I mean, you talked earlier about, down the roads to Sobeys in Brighton or Cobourg's Got Foodland, or how important is it to the township that there is a local grocery store from a
Well, of
resident
course.
standpoint of view? Sorry.
Well, obviously, I mean, residents who live here and have had that history, and the store that we had, the Foodland, had traditionally been, a multi-generational family enterprise, And so there were those deep roots too, right? The history of the place, so that there was that built into the integrity of it all. So that is important. And of course, I guess you get back to urban planning, and I think of places like Curtis or Ajax or Whitby. How important is it for those fields and fields and fields of new developments to have a grocery store? Well, I think their take is quite different, that because they rely on their cars for everything. We are dealing with a rural, quasi small time rural or urban s setting within an urban, within a rural surround. And so some people don't have cars, you know, older folks and so on. So that is a factor. It is important. It is important. But again, planning wise, in this country, we've always just said or assumed that people will drive, you know, will drive. To my mind, I think every subdivision anywhere should build into its design a corner store of some sort, you know, it can, whether it's convenience or whatever. Otherwise, everybody's driving, driving or not driving or whatever. But again, that's a scale of the economy and what pays the most money and so on and so forth. There's room for independence.
Mandy, affordability is always a question these days. And with the additional traveling costs to go to Brighton or to go to Coburg to get groceries, make things more expensive. I mean, you know, there is Sobeys and No Frills in Brighton. Coburg has a lot more choice for different grocery stores. Has anyone talked to you about affordability and being able to access bargains or faced financial hardship because of this situation?
Well, I think certainly some would say they have, but again, you know, these same people are often employed elsewhere. They're getting jobs. For example, so much of the influx of people that we're getting in this area now, people are commuting to Oshawa, commuting to Durham, commuting elsewhere. So, and I would say again, what you're raising is the sense of a small hamlet having a food store. Is it important? Yes. But I don't think it's, you've got to be careful in terms of the scale and how you're planning it, because most people who are working aren't working locally. In other words, they are already traveling, right? And it's like everything else, services, you have to travel to a hospital. You have to travel because this is the way people have determined that it is the least expensive. These are, you know, in terms of costing or whatever, these are things we have to consider, you know. Smaller clinics set up as we have established in Colborne through the Ontario or the Health Ontario Health Team Northumberland. A terrific asset that brings those services into this area, this village, is it's not as comprehensive as a full service hospital or whatever, but these are services in demand that we bring. So we have to always be considering the balance and how to downsize, how to make it.
Another aspect of this in terms of economics is the local economy, the ecosystem of the downtown, for example. The grocery store was an anchor of the downtown, and it drew people to Colborne. What, if any, economic impacts have you seen since the fire on other businesses and their viability?
Well, I think several of the in the downtown area, for example, expanded their food services, their catering. I mean, I think of Retro Rewind, which actually opened up a lunch and breakfast counter and is doing quite well. Other people expanded their food lineups, you know, what they were offering and so on and so forth. There have been a few restaurants open and they're doing quite well. They're doing quite well. So that was people pivoting. But yes, for example, I think other stores have been affected because people would come to Colborne and there was always this little route. They went to the post office, then they went to the drugstore, then they went to the hardware store, and then they went to Foodland to get the ice cream on the way home. Well, those three other stores have had an impact. It's had an impact on them. They I think noticed a drop in the walk-in sort of traffic volume. Oh yes, and I missed a big one, and the liquor store.
Now, are there any countermeasures that the township is taking to assist these businesses, or is there anything you're doing to address this kind of an issue?
Well, I think by encouraging responsible growth and development, making sure that we have the service capacity, for example, wastewater and water services and electricity services, upgrading those to make sure that if people want to come in, they can do so and, hook up. That's within the village itself, because we're talking about a village setting within this context. But the other thing is that also I've noticed that there have been a few more farm gate enterprises open, buy your beef at the gate or whatever, or your eggs or your, foodstuffs. But certainly not as comprehensive as a full service food store. But there are these signs of innovation and adaptation where there's an economic opportunity.
You've alluded several times about local developers in our conversation. And I wonder to what extent, though, having a grocery store or a fundamental service like that is critical in keeping developers interested in building in Cramie Township.
Not that we've heard of directly, no. What we have heard from some developers who do surveys of the people who come or buyers, etc., their first priority is healthcare. Access to health care. Access to a grocery store, no. I mean, yes, it's an amenity, but that is not what's driving their final decisions to buy here and to live here. Access to health care is the top of the list.
How much pressure is council under to deliver a resolution to this issue?
It's a want. It's a want. I mean, in terms of pressure, I think it depends who you talk to, but I certainly am aware that people want and so on and so forth. But when you talk about the realities and the costs, they want a store. They want to be able to go and buy a pre-cooked chicken, but do they want to pay $16, $17 for a chicken that is $12.99 somewhere down the road? That's when it starts to get a little fuzzy. That's when people start to sort of go, well.
In March, it was reported that Sobeys sales hit $7.5 billion for the fiscal year. It has plans to renovate up to a quarter of all its stores. When you hear these things, how do you respond to their decision?
It's their decision. It's their decision. It's their marketing plan. I know, for example, that at the same time that they announced Colborne not being rebuilt, I think it was Bob Cajun, they closed the store. I mean, they're making their own economic decisions, and it's not, that's not my purview. And as I say, then I just have to look elsewhere. But Rob, again, think about the media. I mean, the Toronto Star, closing Metroland or whatever, closing stores or closing smaller independent newspapers or smaller independent newspapers. The economy of scale. There's not much you can do about it.
I also understand that from reports that Loblaws is looking to expand its store network in 2024, and it's hoping to open 40 new stores. Is that any reason to be optimistic?
Well, I don't know. I mean, certainly we let people know we're here and it's a great community and we're growing. I mean, there isn't a more beautiful setting, and logistically it's great. It's on the 401. We're on a rail line. I mean, we're poised for the future, really, in terms of growth and accessibility for deliveries, connectedness, whatever. And I would also mention, somewhere down the line in 20 years or so, I mean, maybe it'll be 10 or 15. The Peterborough Airport is going to start, I think, playing a big role in terms of supply chain for goods. So, yeah, it's such a weird time, and things can change so quickly. Corporately, of course, it's a sad thing. Fewer and fewer facilities are sort of one-offs or independent. They're becoming agglomerated under corporate ownership, and they rule in many ways, right? So there have to be more innovative solutions. But again, Grammy Township, population 6,200, to so you come to the table. I mean, I can throw hissy fits and stamp my little feet and be, quite aggressive. You do what you can.
What's next for this portfolio in dealing with this grocery store issue? What do you see as the next steps, or what's going to come down the road?
I think that there will be discussions and there will be proposals coming in. Again, because Sobeys has now backed off, it isn't sort of the corporate behemoth that is, going to be in competition with something somebody else wants to do. It's an open market now, much more, shall we say, economically level. And I think it provides real opportunity, exciting opportunity.
Mandy Martin, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert.
That was Mandy Martin, Mayor of Crammy Township. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.